on here. Okay, so we are recording right now. And again, this is Curtis Brown, and with me today I have a very, very special guest. And when I mean special, this gentleman is very, very special. His name is Mr. Peter Leeds, and he really needs no introduction. But for the benefit of our listeners, I will go ahead and just briefly say that Mr. Peter Leeds has been featured in media organizations like NBC, CBS, Fox, CNN. He's also the author of the book, Penny Stocks, Invest in Penny Stocks, A Guide to Profitable Trading. It's a very, very good book. I've read it a couple times, as a matter of fact. And Mr. Leeds' book is available at Barnes & Noble, major bookstores, Amazon.com. Actually, his website, www.pennystocks.com. Peter is what I call a professional in every sense of the word when it comes to penny stocks. He knows a lot. His team is really dedicated to helping other folks benefit and invest in penny stocks. And so with that in mind, I'm going to let him talk a little bit more and let him speak, as a matter of fact. So, Peter, welcome today. And again, it's a very, very good pleasure to have you. How are you today?
Very well. Thank you for having me here, Curtis.
Great, great. Well, listen, I appreciate that. I'm just going to kind of dive in here and just for the benefit of our listeners and just ask you, basically, what is a penny stock?
Well, it's any stock that's trading at $5 per share or less. So it's a pretty broad range. I mean, you've got these, you know, fractional penny stocks that are trading for one-tenth of a penny.
Right.
And you have companies like Ford Motor Company was trading at $1.87.
Sure.
And you don't think of Ford when you think of penny stocks. But
right.
That was a penny stock at that time, and we picked that stock. And so we're looking at anything $5 and under. And generally what we find happen to be the companies with the best fundamental strength is usually around the $1 to $2 range.
Right.
And what you're going to get is you want to get in on the smaller companies early, and that's the best way to make a lot of money, but you also want to have that level of stability and fundamental strength.
I understand. And I know the story very, very well myself, but for the, again, for the benefit of our listeners, how and why did you get started in penny stocks yourself?
Well, I was, you know, making a few bucks here and there doing some odd jobs and things I didn't really enjoy doing, like moving rocks and pulling weeds and stuff. I saved up money myself. You know, it wasn't given to me, but I said there's got to be, you know, you can do something with this money, make it make money on its own, and I thought, you know, the stock market. But, you know, with about $3,000 I had gathered over a few years, I thought, what are you going to do, you know, if you buy a share of IBM? You can't even, I don't know if I could afford many shares. It's going to make 5%, 10%. It's not going to make a difference.
Sure,
in life.
Sure.
So what I decided to do is I said, you know, penny stocks, that's the way to go. And I was 14 years old at the time, and see if you can count how many mistakes I made here. I mean, I put all my money into one penny stock. This is back in the day when you're, like, looking at your stock quote in the newspaper the next day.
Right, right.
Not a lot of computer stuff going on.
Yeah.
The stock went from 14 cents down the next week to 13 cents. And the next week it went to, it actually got halted.
Right.
I'd never heard that before. I didn't know what it meant. And I called the stock exchange. I'm like, can I get my money back? They're like, well, if you can find somebody to buy your shares.
Well, you're absolutely right. I see a couple mistakes right there because, number one, is poor money management. Didn't sound like you really researched it and so on and so forth. So I could see that right off the bat.
That's an understatement. I figured it's on the stock market. It must be a good company. And
yeah.
That was my biggest mistake right there.
Right,
so,
right.
You know, it doesn't sound like, you know, you're talking about a guy who knows about penny stocks, and that's the beginning of my story, but it was actually that mistake and those mistakes that I made that actually got me to learn how to do it properly. And that's,
right.
You know, I expect to lose that much money that quickly. There's got to be a way to make that much money that quickly.
Absolutely.
That's what I started to do.
Well, that's why, you know, that's why I invited you on, and that's why it's so important, because I do see and hear so many people making that same mistake, and I didn't quite make that mistake, but I, you know, when I first got started, I started losing money as well, and thanks to, you know, the information in your book and your website. By the way, I'm a subscriber of your newsletter, very, very amazing, very, very powerful. And so that really is making all the difference. And we'll talk a little bit more about your newsletter. But let me ask you, approximately now, about how many penny stock companies exist right now, approximately?
Well, I think it's around 5,000.
Yeah, that's quite a bit.
Although about, you know, 4,500 of those, I wouldn't suggest that anybody ever run near those companies. They're not good investments. They're not good companies. It's, you know, what we do is we try to find the 5% of companies that pass our analysis criteria. And
right.
The thing about that is, you know, just because it's small doesn't mean it's a bad investment. But a lot of times a bad investment can also be small. You know,
right.
It'll go down in price. So you want to get a good quality company with good fundamental strength, and it happens to be trading at, you know, 25 cents or 50 cents. If it's a good company, it should potentially go higher over time, and that's what we look to find.
Right, right. As a matter of fact, I know one of the benefits that you provide is that you actually make it really, really, I wouldn't say necessarily easier, but you actually do, because you you go through, you have a professional staff and team that you guys actually go through, and you sift through all these stocks to look for the, I call them the gems, and that's really, you know, you're really saving people a lot of time, and so folks like myself, that's really beneficial. And can you talk a little bit about how does a company get on your radar for you to begin to start doing your analysis and deciding if it's going to be something that you're going to like?
Well, it's actually quite easy to get on our radar early on because, you know, we are basically casting a big net. You know, we're not looking at the specific industries. We're looking at, you know, thousands of companies, but the point is to stay on our radar takes a lot, and we get rid of companies very quickly.
Right.
I mean, if there's anything wrong with them, we throw them away and keep moving, you know.
Right.
So a lot of companies go on our radar, and we basically have the full universe of penny stocks, and then we break that down to a short list, and from there we have a shorter list. And
sure.
From there we have sort of a premium list, and there's companies we watch for years, but they're not quite ready yet.
Right.
Other companies we think are in the right place at the right time. You know, right now we're liking things that are in social media because there's a lot of sympathy from the Facebook IPO and the Yelp IPO. People are starting to look into that space, and money's flowing into that neighborhood. And so we put a better look into those companies right now because we think this is the time for that sort of that sector.
That's right.
You know, so,
go ahead.
Sorry, it's a very difficult question to answer, to put it quickly.
Sure,
We look at a lot of companies, and we're looking for opportunities, and that could come in any form.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I know that, for example, we have the Facebook IPO that is going to be coming around the corner. And I saw on your website the interview that you did there, and I couldn't agree with you more. I think that that's going to it'll kind of go up. It'll attract some attention. It'll kind of come down and just kind of bounce. But do you feel that you and your team are going to maybe participate in that activity, or are you just going to kind of see what happens?
We won't go near it in any way.
Gotcha.
There's two things. There's one that I think it's going to shake a lot of investors out. I think the prices will be, you know, too high, and it's hard to know how far back down it'll come. So it's
right.
Going to be a bit of a mess. And at the same time, we also have our unbiased guarantee where we never invest in or buy the shares that we talk about in the newsletter or
right.
the media.
That is so ethical and so important because in the penny stocks world, I come to find out that there's things called pump and dump, which is where you have these internet companies that will hype up a company, get you all excited. You go in and buy in, and they quickly literally sell the rug from underneath you. And so one of the criteria when I went to go select experts in the field of stock trading was to find people that had that ethical background that you have. And so that's very, very huge. And so I appreciate that and definitely want you to continue to do what you're doing. So that's really helping out a lot of people there.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Well, thank you so much. Let's see. As far as the timeline that you typically will invest in a stock, let's say, for example, I call it the holding period, how long will you usually hold a stock, or is that a predetermined time, or is it set on a base criteria? For example, like I like to do, I like to do scalping myself, but I see that holding stocks for a little bit longer is actually beneficial. So how do you like to recommend that your followers do that?
Well, we are investors and not traders.
Right.
So, and truly, a lot of the largest wins that we've had in the penny stock world have been companies that we've held for a couple of years.
Right.
I mean, their stocks have held for 2 or 3 years before they actually started making their move, and then they went, within a matter of months, they went up 10 times in value. So it's hard to to pick the exact moment, but generally we find that people who invest in a good company benefit more than a trader would.
Right.
If they get into that good company early and they let it sort of develop as it comes out with stronger operational results and they start making more money and expanding their market share.
Right.
It's kind of like going along for the ride on one good quality company for the longer term will actually be much more profitable than trying to make 10 and 15% here and there day to day.
Sure, sure, absolutely. And I can tell you that it is a lot of work, and especially in the morning hours there. What do you see that for most beginners, what would you say would be the top five mistakes that beginners make when investing in penny stocks?
Well, number one, they shouldn't follow any stock picks that they hear about for free,
right,
whether that's on a message board or it's in these emails that they're getting sent. We've all got those emails where they're talking up some company. And generally, almost everybody in my industry is actually getting money from the companies to try and drive the price up.
Right.
So how can you trust that information?
Absolutely.
So I suggest people avoid the free stock picks. They have to ask themselves, why is this person who I don't know, who I've never heard of, sending me this free stock pick and telling me how good it is?
Right.
If it was that good, they wouldn't need you to buy into the shares.
Absolutely,
right?
Absolutely.
We say also, avoid pink sheet stocks because they're hard, even if they go up in price sometimes, they're hard to sell. But
sure.
They're also generally not good quality companies because the listing requirements for that exchange are so lax and simple to get listed on. We're saying too, penny stocks are not for everyone.
Sure,
you have to
sure.
be true to yourself, and if you decide that it's not for you, then don't worry about it. Walk away. And finally, I would say that if you do, take a profit from a stock, don't sit there watching it and feeling bad if that stock keeps going up. Because,
right.
Most of us have done it, and I've done it myself.
I've done it too.
One man said to me once that you can't go broke taking a profit, and it's really good advice, but it hurts sometimes when you sell a stock. I mean, I bought one at 80 cents when I sold it at $7, and it went up to, I think, $30.
Right.
But we also suggest some people like to sell portions at a time, right? You don't have to, sell it all at once.
Right. In
so
fact,
stocks are doing well.
Right. That's right. Your book talks about that, averaging down and up, and so that's a very, very good tactic that explains that. As far as a beginner, when they get started, how much capital do you think that they should start out with?
Well, we always suggest that they start with zero.
Right.
Until you learn the rules of the game.
Sure.
Like them to paper trade, keep track of an imaginary $100,000 and say, oh, I would have bought this stock, I would have bought that stock.
Right.
I sold this one now. And see if they can make a profit doing that with fake money first. And then start thinking about putting a few hundred or a few thousand dollars into it. I mean, with penny stocks, you don't need a lot.
Right. Gotcha. I know from your book, you mentioned about you only do 80% of your stock picks are basically fundamentals, which is, you're looking at earnings, you're looking at management, so on and so forth. And then 10% is really on the technical side, charts and things of that nature. Is there a specific thing on the technical side that you look at or any particular indicator that you like when you look at these stocks that help you do your analysis?
Well, we are using the technical analysis just to find good buy and sell points.
Right.
We know the company's good already, and then we use the TA to try and figure out when should we buy it. And we look at the volume, trading volume a lot. We look at moving averages. And what we're looking for is a company that's got, good momentum, that they're actually closer to their 52-week high rather
right.
than close to their 52-week low because, they've got momentum. They're going up in the right direction.
Okay.
But we'll look at a lot of factors there, and it depends, again, on the company, and it depends on a lot of technical analysis. Doesn't work with penny stocks because they're so thinly traded that you can't trust the patterns that you see.
Right, right.
You might see a beautiful cup and handle pattern, which generally implies that the stock price is going to take a jump higher. But if it's on low volume, then it's not something that you can be certain about.
So right.
It's sometimes more misleading than helpful.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying. I know when I first started, for example, I would see some news on MarketWatch.com or Bloomberg.com thinking, okay, this stock's going to really go up. So, right at the opening bell, I go in and I bought a stock, and I just watched the thing go down. And I'm like, wait a minute. Why did that happen? And I, in reading your book, you know, I saw the mistake that I was making, because by the time the major news hits, you're already too late. People are actually, the pros are getting out. They're selling, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. And
I mean, the media is reactionary, they're not predicting what's going to happen. They're telling you what's already happened.
Right, right.
And they're acting like it's happening now, but it's already happened.
So if
you're watching Mad Money and Kramer's telling you about this next hot stock that's going to go through the roof,
right.
By the time you get there the next day to buy it, you're probably
too late to the party.
Car.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
That's it. That's almost similar to Facebook right now. Everybody, you know, thinking that it's going to really just kind of go up, and it might. But the fact of the matter is, the pros are already involved right now, and they're going to be looking to sell.
It's a great company Facebook is, but you know, it's the way it's going to trade might be different. The valuation's probably going to go too high. You know, so that's a perfect example of that, Curtis.
Exactly. Do you have any special as far as, you know? And I'm glad that you made the distinction between trading and investing. And for benefit of our listeners, trading is more short term. For example, I day trade. For example, I'm in and out of a stock literally in a day. Versus what Peter is talking about, you know, investing. You know, his returns are going to tend to be higher because he's holding that for a longer period of time. And I like the fact, Peter, and you mentioned this too, that, you know, you're not sitting there at the desk all day looking at the computer, you know, watching the stock go up and down. And so that really tends to play on your emotions. And I know sometimes it still plays on mine. And so that's why I'm trying to make that fine balance, this distinction. Hey, you know, when do you not look, and when do you look there? So do you have a mechanism in place that, say, for example, you know, because there's no holy grail and nobody's perfect, but if something does start to go south on you, do you have a fail-safe mechanism or a stop system that helps you get out of a stock or out of an investment before it goes too bad?
Well, generally, brokers will give you they won't necessarily give you good stop-loss tools.
Right.
And especially with thinly traded stocks, it could actually wind up costing you a lot, and it's very easy for you to get stopped out on a penny stock because it can drop 10% in value and pop right back up.
Right, so volatile.
So it's more of a mental stop, and I'm actually, you know, I don't agree with Warren Buffett on a lot of stuff, but
sure.
I do agree with him on this, that, you know, whether the stock goes down or up, if you can look at a company and you still like it for the reasons you bought into it in the first place and they're still on track, then you don't need to worry too much about the volatility.
Right, right. Gotcha. That makes very, very good sense. Very good sense. Generally speaking, how long does it take? And I know for example, my own self, it took me about a year for me to get really good at what I do. But for beginners, and I know that you talked about doing paper trading, which is basically, you know, you're using an imaginary account or an account that's not, you know, really using real dollars. But should a beginner expect to really be good at investing and trading in a year, two, three? What's just the general average from the folks that you've come in contact with?
Well, if they go about it the right way, it shouldn't take them. It'll not be a matter of months rather than years.
Right.
Some people shouldn't invest at all ever.
Right. Exactly. Absolutely.
Some people are good at it just because their natural tendency is to be more pessimistic. But you have to have a little bit of pessimism, a little bit of optimism. Everybody's different. But
sure.
With me, I mean, I lost all my money when I was 14.
Right.
And I paper traded for a couple of years, not because I wanted to practice. It was more because I didn't have any money.
Okay.
So I paper traded for a while until I started, you know, making some money.
Right. And I read the story because you were 14 years old and you actually had to use your mother to actually open the account and so forth. Was she disappointed when she saw that you lost that money?
I think she felt partly guilty, and I think she, I mean, I couldn't get a brokerage account. You cannot do that. So she had a pre-existing account. I traded through that, and I think that she felt pretty defensive of me and wanted to, you know, break somebody's neck. But I took full responsibility for my decisions. I took full responsibility for the loss.
Right.
And I actually, you know, at the time it felt horrible. I mean, you lose a lot more than the money. You lose pride. You lose confidence.
Sure.
But you know, I use it as. Basically something to motivate me, and I actually realized years later that that was one of the best things that could have happened to me, because that's why I got to where I am now.
Gotcha. Yeah. That. Well, that's very, very good, because you know, through that pain, you've actually come out on top, and it helped a lot of people as well. How much does news play a part in, we touched about this just a little while ago, but how much does news really play a part in your decision-making as far as a stock being on your radar, or do you just kind of just ignore it?
Well, if it's really positive news, but it's common knowledge, like
right.
everyone's finding out something, it actually is a negative, because then we realize that there's going to be a lot of people in the stock. You know, as long as it's common knowledge, that's baked into the stock price.
Sure.
And if anything changes, it can come back down. So what we like to do is find companies that are unheard of, basically,
right.
that then are going to start becoming more popular in the media, that sort of thing, because then you've got the advantage. You get in early.
Got it.
You know, it's part of the fundamental analysis, though. We'll look at every press release and every piece of news on a company before we'll say word one about it. And generally, you want to be involved in a company that then subsequently gets a lot of media coverage.
Right.
So that's one of the things that we look for.
Got it. And when you're actually in a particular investment, you mentioned that you know, you would hold it for a long period of time. Do you have a set goal, for example? Do you say to yourself, okay, I'm in this stock, I'm going to invest it, I'm looking to get, say, for example, a 10% return on my money, or do you just kind of ride it as high as it will go, and then you just at some point you just say, okay, that's it, I made enough money, I'm out? How do you decide when to actually get out of an investment?
Well, Curtis, you made an excellent point that you should know before you even buy the stock in the first place what you're hoping to get out of it.
Right.
That'll make a big difference in terms of what you walk away with at the end of the day.
Sure.
Generally, I'm looking to make a lot more than 10%.
Right. Absolutely.
Looking for companies that are going to at least double, some of them potentially more. But it has to do with the quality of the company and the operational results that they're achieving.
Right.
As long as they're increasing their market share, they're lowering their margins. As long as they're picking up higher revenues quarter after quarter, and I would never sell them.
Absolutely.
If I see any sign of them, you know, their margins increasing or they're losing some clients and stuff, I would then be more inclined to say, okay, where's a good exit point for
right.
me out of the stock?
Absolutely. You talk in your book about something called reverse split, and definitely to stay away from that. Is there a way to possibly profit off of a reverse split? And can you explain a reverse split to our listeners?
Sure. Reverse split is also called a share consolidation, where, you know, a company will say, okay, we're going to take, for every 5 shares of our company that you own, we're going to make that 1 share now, but it'll be, you know, theoretically 5 times the value. So 20-cent shares, 5-for-1 reverse split makes the shares $1 each, but
right.
only fifth of as many shares out. Generally, though, it's a sign of a company that's in trouble. Their stock price is going down. They need to increase the stock price, perhaps to keep the listing on a major stock exchange, or maybe to make the company look better. It theoretically shouldn't hurt shareholders, but generally, because, like I said, it's a sign of a company in trouble, they'll do a split. They might do a 5-for-1 or two. A 1-for-5 or a 1-for-2. What if they do a 10-for-1
right.
reverse split?
Right.
That's going to increase the share price 10 times, but you'll have 1/10 of the shares. But generally, then what happens is the stock price immediately comes down even lower
right.
after the consolidation.
Gotcha.
You know, at the point a company's going to do that, you're generally involved in the company that's going the wrong way.
Got it. All right. So that's why you say just definitely stay away from that. So that's good to know. Let's talk about the pattern day trading rule. Now, because you're more of long-term investing, and really it's not going to affect any of your followers, but for folks like myself, you know, I found out about it, and I'm sure you know about the pattern day trading rule. Let's talk about what's a legal way to get around that. And I know, for example, myself, when I first got started, I had just basically opened up 2 accounts, one with E-Trade and the other with TD Ameritrade. And so do you have people that, say, for example, if they, you know, come to you and say, hey, Peter, you know, I want to do multiple investments, you know, or do you basically say, hey, look, you know, just focus on maybe 1 or 2?
Well, I suggest generally focusing on what I call 10-point investing. People say the more you diversify, it's a good idea. Well, the more you diversify, generally, the more you're going to get the average returns that everybody's getting.
Right.
And what I'm trying to do is find some angles that you would make higher percentages. So we look at what I call 10-point investing. We're looking at, you know, even if I've got, you know, basically seven figures on the table in stocks, I'm putting that into like five, maybe seven companies at most. I'm not suggesting anyone else do this.
Sure, sure.
It works for me.
Absolutely.
But like you mentioned earlier, you know, I am an investor, not a day trader, not
right.
a high frequency trader. Although I have done, you know, I'm not just blowing smoke here. I have done day trading. I've traded options. I've got into basically anything you can get into. you know, and I've found again and again that the most profitable approach
right.
is to get a good quality company that's trading for a low price that's generally undiscovered, that's growing,
right.
that's fundamentally solid, and you ride that for as long as you can.
Sometimes
it takes a matter of 2 months. Sometimes it takes a year. You
right.
have to be patient and smart about it, I guess.
Gotcha. And because you know, penny stocks are so volatile, do you ever, you know, and we touched upon on this, do you ever get tempted to, and probably this takes a lot of discipline, do you ever get tempted just to kind of peek at the screen and say, hey, look, what's this thing doing?
quite a lot, but
right.
I mean, in my situation, it kind of loses all meaning in the
sure.
sense that
right.
you know, I'm looking at a list of you know, I've got my own investments, but the majority of stocks that we're watching are companies that we have put in front of the eyes of our subscribers,
right.
which are completely different because you know we're not going to be telling you to buy or sell a stock, but also you know with our unbiased guarantee. So I'm looking at you know every morning a list of about 150, 200 stocks.
Right,
they're all. I'll move at 5%, 2%, 3%, and so I'm trying to keep track of that and then do the research at the same time and stuff. So I have to make sure not to get too involved in
sure.
little movements of each stock. I just have to know, you know, what's the general direction of
right.
the business.
Sure.
And then we'll worry about the stock price second, you know.
Yeah, so you definitely want to keep your objectivity there. Do you ever go short on some stocks as far as investing, or are all your investments always long?
Well, like I mentioned, I have traded put options
right.
Personally, but I don't suggest that my subscribers ever sell any stock short.
Right.
Partly because, you know, it's very easy to get burnt very badly and quickly by
right.
doing that.
Gotcha.
And also, you know, it's not appropriate for the majority of my investors.
Sure.
Like I said, the best way to make money, there's a lot of different ways you can make money or try to make money. The best way I've found is to get involved with a good company and let it do its thing.
And it's just really a common sense approach, and that's what really kind of won me over. And I know that one of the things I pride myself in is always learning. And if I come across something that is valuable to me, I'm going to use it. And that's one of the things that that I got from you, Peter. And I just want to say a personal thanks for that, because I think that it just makes common sense. And so sometimes we try to be too fancy, be too complicated, and just try to be slick when all you really need is just something very, very basic. And I think that your approach is very basic, and I like that a lot.
That's excellent. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Absolutely.
I agree with you wholeheartedly about
right.
that.
Right. Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Now, let's see. For the benefit of our listeners, and we're almost actually about wrapping up. This actually was very, very good and insightful. And so, what I want to be able to do is have people know how they can get you know, a copy of your newsletter, and then just tell them a little bit about it. Tell them what's in it, what they can expect. Again, I personally subscribe to it, and I found it very, very valuable. But for the benefit of our listeners, tell us a little bit about your newsletter and what you offer in your services.
Sure, absolutely. And it's actually, you know, if you're interested in the newsletter or the book or follow me on the Facebook page or the blog that we write, it's all available through peterleeds.com. You go there and everything's there. The newsletter itself is, you know, it's $1.95 a year, and it's a one-time fee, and that's the only fee for the year. And you get, you know, our full reports on the stocks that we like, buy and sell opinions, ongoing daily updates, and some special articles, getting started articles, trading articles, that sort of thing. And, you know, we find that people like the newsletter a lot. It's pretty widely followed on six continents, so we're pretty happy about that.
In fact, I actually read over 30,000 that you've provided. That is awesome. I mean that.
Yeah, we've sold now over, I think it's actually over 34,000 subscriptions we've sold. So we're pretty happy about that, and I like to think that we helped a lot of people as well. It's not just about finding the diamond in the rough. It's also about backing people up, making them, you know, take the time for a second, make sure they don't make the mistakes such as the ones that I made when I started trading.
Right, right, absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, Peter, I fully endorse you, and, this has just been a very, very delightful treat for me because, you know, getting an author of a book that is, you know, they're, you know, you're obviously very, very successful, and to take time out of your busy day and schedule, I certainly appreciate the time, really do. And so with that, I'm going to go ahead and ask you if you have any final thoughts or comments before we conclude our call.
I appreciate the interview, Curtis. It's been great, and I would just have a final thought that people need to, like I said, first of all, make sure that penny stocks are for you, and if they are, you decide that, then, you know, you get into it with paper trading, with no money at first, and then find a strategy where you're making money doing that, and then you start looking at putting real money into it. And if you go about it that way, you're going to protect yourself, you're going to learn a lot of tricks in the way, and then you're going to open yourself up to be able to find those really good quality investments that are really going to change your life.
Well, amen. That sounds really good, Peter. Listen, thank you so very, very much.